would not have been given this opportunity. This morning, I was praying that we'd still be able to go to Needmore because I wanted to be able to preach. I'd been working on this message pretty much all week, and God had just laid the topic on my heart, so I wanted to be able to give it, and then we weren't going to be able to go, so to hear the pastor that I was going to be able to preach here was a blessing. To know that God still had a plan for this message and that he just had a different crowd. And so I know that he has something for each one of us here this morning. So we'll just thank him for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for this day. Lord, for this first Sunday of this year. God, for this opportunity to be able to gather together in your house and in your name. Lord, and to know that you are here in the midst of us. Father, as we're seeking your face throughout this day, seeking your will for this year, your blessing upon it, Lord, there is much that is going to happen during this year that we have no clue about. We're not ready for. It's certainly unexpected. But God, you know about it. You know about the trials, the victories, the sorrows. You know about every single part of it. And you have promised that if you've, that you are faithful, and that because you've called us, you will enable us. And so, Lord, we do thank you for that. And Father, I pray that you would give me wisdom and strength as I bring forth this message that you've laid upon my heart. Lord, I pray that your power would be upon me. Lord, that you'd be speaking through me. And Lord, that you would bless each one here tonight, this morning. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, the theme of this message really has been a direct product of my personal experiences this week. And God began to speak to me on this topic on Monday. I had gotten up in the morning, and I was starting to feel a little bit sick. It was just, you knew you weren't perfectly okay. A little bit of scratchiness in the throat, and then your body just a little bit less energetic than it usually would be. But I had already decided, that I was going to go to work with John. We were going to go work with Greg and try to help him get this house finished up. My dad was going to be staying home, taking a day off. So they needed the manpower to be able to get this job done. So I was going to go to work. I wasn't feeling too bad where I couldn't work. And I already knew that was what I was supposed to do. So I got to work. And just probably about an hour into it, I started to feel even more sick. I started developing a cough, and a headache started coming on, which was very noticeable. It was starting to hinder me, so I had to go get some ibuprofen to help out. And beyond that, it snowed on Sunday night, and so we had 2 inches of snow. And since it's the last day of work, we always clean up. And the specific difficulty in this case is that we hadn't cleaned up the entire time we were working on this job. So there was extra junk out there. A lot of 2x4s, a lot of sheeting, a lot of just stuff everywhere. So in the morning, that was pretty much my job that I was working on. I wasn't feeling the greatest, and I was digging wood out of 2 inches of snow, and everything was wet. And you know, throughout each of our lives, we're going to face difficult things. There's a lot of people here that have been sick in the last week, or the last 2 weeks. So we all know what it is like to feel sick, to go through difficult things. Things that don't make us feel good, things that put pressure on us. And at times, especially during the more severe, difficult things, we could ask, how could God let this hopeless situation take place? How can he bring anything out of it? How could it possibly be his will? And we can think about things like deaths, long-term illnesses, like Mrs. Bowling has, some very severe problems that she's had for a really long time now. Maybe it's losing a job at a different time. You know, that's something that's not necessarily physically harming, but it's harming for your family, for your future. It's a trial you got to trust God for because you don't know where your money's coming from. Or maybe it's a forced move. I think all of us at one time or another have moved. We've gone someplace, we've lived in a different location. And you know, moves aren't easy. They bring a lot of emotional problems through separation from friends, separation from familiar atmosphere, familiar ministry. So there's these massive difficulties that we face in life. And at times it's hard to see how God's going to use it. And we may also allow ourselves to think that if God loves us and only wants the best for us, should he not protect us from those difficult things, from the trials that we face? But God does know what is best for us. And if you'll quick turn with me to Romans 8, familiar verse. Well, let's look at it anyways, Romans 8, 28. And it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. So those that love God, are trusting God, and are obeying God can have full assurance that God will work everything out for good. And really, whether you love God or not, even for the unsaved, God allows everything in their life to happen because he wants them to be drawn to him. They can still refuse it, but he's still working things out to bring them to ultimate good. He wants that to happen. He's called all men. No man has an excuse for denying God. So God is working all things out for good for all men. And now, if you will turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12. We're going to look at a passage talking about Paul's thorn in his flesh. And well, let's get into this. Let's start in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 7. And it says, it is not expedient for me to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And as humans, as people in fleshly bodies, we often see sicknesses, trials, difficult things that come into our lives as things that are keeping us from doing what we are supposed to be doing, doing even the will of God. We see them as hindrances in our lives, obstacles, things that are keeping us back. But that's not what the Bible teaches. And I believe that the Bible teaches us that we ought to rejoice in infirmities because God wants the best for us. And He will use infirmities to accomplish His will. It is often hard to imagine how a difficulty could be God's will. But if God allowed it, and if God, in a sense, planned it, and that's what you're supposed to be in right now, then it is absolutely God's will. Well, why do these trials come? In a sense, we know that they can be God's will, that is what we're supposed to be in, but why do they come? In verse 7, we see, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." And Paul, at the beginning of this chapter, he recounts of his being caught up to heaven, to paradise, and seeing and hearing unspeakable things. And Paul, throughout his life, was a witness of some really amazing things, with Christ appearing to him at his conversion, the scales being falling off his eyes and him being able to see, the miraculous healings that were accomplished at his hand, the amazing answers of prayer in regards to direction, in regards to protection. Paul saw God use him more than any of the other apostles. And we know more about Paul than any of the other apostles as well. And so it's, in a sense, very easy to see why Paul could have had this tendency to be proud. He was a very well-educated man, and he was used mightily by God. And oftentimes, we can feel the same way. We can be so used of God that we think we're better than others. We stop focusing on the fact that it is God's using us, and we think that we must be something special because God wants to use us, or He is using us. Or we start thinking that it's actually we are the ones that are doing it. It's not necessarily God that's helping us. It's our natural abilities. And just in my own life, I've found many, many different things that tempt me to become proud, whether it be my abilities with a viola, with construction, with my reading or writing abilities. And you know what? I'm not anywhere near exceptional in any of those areas. But anything that you at times feel like you have better than somebody else, you can use as an area to say, well, I must be better than them because I can do this better than them. Well, they can do that better than me, but you know, I can do this better than them, so I must be better. And that's just how our minds work. It's really twisted thinking, because if you just look at all the people that are better than you in that area, you would be really humbled, because there are probably thousands upon thousands of people in any given area that are better than you. And you know, maybe it's not those areas. Maybe it's for you guys. Your ability with mechanics, whether auto or the tractor mechanics. Maybe it's your just ability, your handyman abilities with different construction or work projects. Maybe it's technology. Whatever it might be that causes you to think, well, I'm really good at this, and have those feelings of, well, I'm better than him because I can do this better. Or for your ladies, maybe it's your cooking abilities, your housekeeping abilities, your sewing abilities. Whatever it is, there's always things in our life that cause us to be tempted to think that we're better, to think that we're worthy. And it is things like these, and it is our natural tendency to be proud, that is one of the reasons why God allows trials into our life. Just reading that first section again, it says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And pride is truly one of the worst sins, in that it affects everybody. Pride was what caused Satan to fall. Pride is what caused Adam to blame Eve. And pride is what keeps lost people from accepting their need for a Savior. They believe that they're good enough, that they don't need help. And pride can be the worst enemy of a Christian. If Paul had become proud, what would that have done to his ministry? It would have ruined it. We've just been looking at the qualifications for a pastor in the last class I did at BCM. And one of them is they have to be humble. Well, if Paul hadn't been humble, he would have been proud. He would have been technically disqualified from being a pastor, from being that spiritual leader, that evangelist that he was. So it would have ruined his ministry. So God allowed Satan to send this thorn in the flesh, this trial, whatever it was, most likely a physical infirmity, just difficulty he had in his life that he constantly faced, was sent into his life to keep him dependent upon God, to keep him humble. Now, this sickness that we've just had this last week was pretty bad. And really, it's still been affecting most of us. We've still got this lingering cough that doesn't really want to go away. But that'll go away, Lord willing. It's not going to last a month or a couple months. But this difficulty that Paul faced was going to be with him the rest of his life. God wasn't going to take it away from him. And for most of us, we probably got something like that in our life. You know, for me, I have ringing in my ears. That's not going to go away for the rest of my life. I'm always going to have ringing in my ears. For Matthew, he has a problem with his ankle. It's something he's been fighting with the last several years. And it's most likely not going to go away. It's something he's going to have to fight with, have to work with. So whatever it might be, that's your physical disability or something that's just a trial in your life that's hard to work with. That would be more like what this trial was for Paul. But how do we use those things, and how do we use the trials that come into our life? The trials are going to come into our life, but the important thing is how we respond to those trials. Because we know that trials are the will of God. He's allowed them into our life. But Satan didn't send them into our life to be the will of God. Satan has his own purposes for sending trials into our life. Satan wants to tempt us. Satan wants to cause us to fall. He wants to separate us from God. We know that God isn't the one that is tempting Paul here. We read in James 1:13, says, "Let no man say that when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." So it is Satan who's tempting, who wants us to be separated from God. So whenever a trial keeps us from walking in the Spirit, from walking in fellowship with God, Satan has accomplished his purpose in bringing that trial into our life. He's won. The only way that we can live in the will of God is if we continue walking in the Spirit. We continue with rejoicing, accepting the trial as the will of God. Not allowing the trial to actually be an obstacle, but accepting the trial as an opportunity. If we see trials and the obstacles as things that are keeping us from the will of God, and if we see them as not the will of God, then we're going to get discouraged, because we're going to think, "I can't get past this trial. I can't do God's will until I get past the trial." And being at home this week, you know, I could have really thought that as well. I can't serve God until I get past this trial, so I can get out of the house and go be places where I can be a witness or do something. God has given us the assurance that we can walk in His will at all times. If it wasn't so, then he wouldn't promise that we could do greater works than Christ did, that we could walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So we can walk in the Father's will at all times. And we also know that we don't have to fall to the temptations to sin because of the trials. Because, if you will, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." With the temptation, with the trial, God is going to enable you and provide a way for you to escape sinning. You do not have to get discouraged. You don't have to blame God. You don't have to sin when the trials come. God's promised it. And you know, on Monday, I was working in the cold, and I was not feeling the greatest. And I could have gotten discouraged that morning because of everything that was going wrong. But I knew it was God's will for me to be there. I knew it was what He wanted me to do. And because I knew that it was what He wanted me to do, I knew that He was going to enable me to do it. Now the Bible says, faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. God's called you to do something, He's going to do it through you. And on Monday, I had a headache for the rest of the day, and I was coughing for the rest of the day. But I really had an amazing amount of energy for kind of how I was feeling, how I should have been feeling. Yes, I was tired, and I was actually working slower than usual. But God gave me a joy in working, and just a determination to go forward, to keep going. And that was all God. I've had other days where I haven't felt good, or it was just even the weather, and it's gotten me discouraged, and I don't really feel like working, and I can't wait till it's time to go home. And I just thought of it, but that day, the weather even for that day wasn't very good at all. It was misting the entire day. And I was working outside for the entire morning while it was misting. And so there's just a lot of different things going on there. But God was good. God was my strength. And in the trials, we shouldn't find joy from serving God necessarily. It shouldn't be participating in ministry or getting out and being a witness that causes us joy. It should be doing what God wants us to do. It should be the presence of God and doing the will of God that brings us joy. Because God really doesn't care about us doing things for Him. He cares about us obeying Him, walking with Him, doing what He wants us to do. And what He wants us to do isn't often what we think we ought to do. I've really wanted to get out soul winning this week, but it really didn't fit into our schedule in that we were sick. How are we going to get out, go to somebody's door, and you're coughing at their door, and we have this COVID Omicron virus going around? Well, it's not a very good testimony. But I really wanted to get out, and I really wanted to connect with some different people, and I really haven't been able to do that. But God knew. God's had this planned out since the beginning of time. He knew I was going to be able to do these things. And if we're going to continue reading on now, 2 Corinthians, if you'll turn there again, starting verse 7 again, we'll read. It says, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And verse 9, the beginning, says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, Paul had asked God to take away the thorn in his side, and God said no. And at times, I've pondered upon what this means. My grace is sufficient for me, thee. Is it that God had already given him enough grace? He had already done enough things for him that he didn't need to do this one for him? No. Because God's grace is limitless. And it's not that God's grace wasn't enough of it to help Paul in this one. It was that God's grace was going to be enough for him to go through this one. God was going to enable him. His grace was going to sustain Paul through the trial, not take away the trial. And you know, on Monday morning, I was feeling sick. But I very specifically asked God that morning to use me, to give me a divine appointment. I was sick. I wasn't feeling good. So I was weak. And I needed God's strength. So I asked God to give me an opportunity to talk to somebody. And it was probably 2 hours into the morning or so that this plumber came to work on the job. We almost never have somebody working on the job with us, except for occasionally we have electricians setting up electrical boxes outside or the electrical panels. But this plumber was there, maybe running some measurements for when he'd come through. And he was there probably in an hour or so, working away. But this was the morning, so I was still outside working in the yard. This time I was in the front yard working, but he was inside most of the time working, and also he was talking with the guys that were working inside. So I didn't really have an opportunity to really connect with him. I didn't think I said really anything to him while he was working. But then he finished what he was doing. He started packing up his tools, getting everything into his vehicle. And I was beginning to struggle whether I should go talk to him or not. Up to this point, I really hadn't felt led to go talk to him. So I was kind of leaning on the side of, I don't need to go talk to him because he's actually already in his truck, or his vehicle now. So he's about ready to leave. To go grab a track, I have to go to the truck, and I'm going to have to come back, and it's going to be a hassle. So it's too big of a problem to really worry about, so it must not be God's will. Well, I was thinking that for, I don't know, maybe 30 seconds to a minute, and then all of a sudden God just gave me peace to go do it. And I'm not usually like that, but God just gave me a piece. So I dropped what I was doing, which actually wasn't much because I was just picking up trash. But went, got a track out of the truck, went over there. He was still over there sitting with his window down. And I gave him a track. I started talking to him for a minute. And the guy was really friendly, really receptive of the track. He was started telling me a little bit of his story, how that he was a Catholic and his wife was a Lutheran, and neither one of them, before they got married, wanted to convert to the other one. So the priest wouldn't marry them, and the pastor or whatever of the Lutheran church wouldn't marry him. So they were trying to figure out who would marry him. And they were going to elope, but their parents said that they had to get married in a church. Well, so I guess somewhere along the line, they found a Baptist preacher or pastor who sat down and was, he said he talked to him for like 2 hours and tore into him a little bit. At least that was kind of what he was saying. And then he said he'd marry him. So they got married by a Baptist preacher. So whether or not we would agree with that, or he still had that, a good Baptist influence in his life. He's not angry against Baptists at all. And I don't know where he's been going, or if he ever like faithfully attended that church. But he'd been influenced by Baptists. And so being able to give him that track and talk to him a little bit, it was a direct divine appointment. God knew that he was going to be there and that I was going to be able to give him something. So I know God's still working in his life because it was God's will. And if we look now at the next part of this verse, it says, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." And if I'd been feeling good that morning, I may have not asked God to enable me like that, to strengthen me, because I was feeling relatively strong. But I knew I needed him. And God promises us that it is when we are weak, when we're in the midst of a trial, that is when he will show up. So when you're in a trial, what's your attitude? Do you see it as God's will? Or do you see it as a hindrance? As something that's keeping you back from doing what God wants you to do? Because God didn't put a trial in your life to keep you back from what he wants you to do. He put the trial there so that you could do what he wanted you to do. He had something different in mind than what you had previously planned. And so you can find God's will in the midst of a trial, because it is his will. And yet we can still get discouraged because we don't feel good, or it's hard. But as we read on, verse 9 says, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul learned to rejoice in his infirmities, to glory in them, to think that it was when he was weak that he was strong, that it was the best time for him to serve God, when he was not feeling good, when he was going through the hardest things. He found that those were the best times for him to serve God, because then God would get all the glory. So really, your trials ought to be the best time for you to serve God, the best times for you to bring glory to God and to accomplish the will of God. And in this week of sickness, I haven't been able to get out and do much, but I have been able to spend time with family, spend time in my devotions every day, just be faithful in that. Spend extra time preparing this message. Usually, I work on a message for two or three days, a few hours each day, or whatever. Sometimes it's like all in one day, and I just work on it for several hours until it's done. Well, this was different because I had all week. I knew I was going to be preaching. I was home all week, so I planned a few hours pretty much every single day, to work on this message. So that was that's really different for me to be able to just plan out and slowly work at this. But it was a blessing because this was what God had for me. He was teaching me this in the midst of a trial. I was actually going through what I was preparing to teach. And that's why God put the message on my heart. That's why it came to me, because I was going through something. And God wanted me to learn to rejoice in it. And on Monday, after I talked to that man, I was very grateful for that opportunity to be a witness. And I was able to go through the rest of the day feeling relatively okay for being sick, getting things accomplished. And I just had a joy and a peace about what I was doing. I wasn't doing fun things, but it was what I was supposed to be doing. And I got home that night, and I really realized how blessed I was, because pretty much everybody else in the family was sick on a couch. None of them were feeling as good as I was. And I'd been working all day, and they'd been able to be home in the comfort where they could get the medicine and everything. And yet, they weren't all feeling good. And I was able to help out on Monday night with the different things that they needed done, helping get supper on the table. And I don't know why I was feeling so good. I was sick actually before several of them were sick. I had put a lot of energy out throughout the day, and yet I come home feeling full of energy. I had energy when I got home. And that was just a blessing. Another gift of God to give me strength to be a help to the family as well. So in the midst of trials, again, what's our attitude? Are we rejoicing in God? Are we depending upon His strength to enable us? Because it is in the midst of trials that you can receive the biggest blessings. We often want to be able to just work and serve God, and we see trials as an obstacle, but they're not. God knew about it. God planned it. And He's using it if you'll let Him. And this year, we're definitely going to face some trials. We already have. I know of college students who, the last week of the year, were feeling pretty bad. And even yesterday, there was a college student that was feeling really bad. He was in the hospital. And, you know, that is just right off the bat, facing trials. What about the rest of the year? There's going to be a lot of them. They're going to be really hard. They're going to come in all shapes and sizes and affect all of our feelings. But are we going to accept them as the will of God? And we're going to surrender to do what God wants us to do during those times, even when it's outside of what we usually think, what we usually plan for. Well, let's close with a word of prayer here. Oh, Lord, we do thank You for this day again. And we thank You for Your word and for the truths that we find in it. God, for the fact that You do love us, that You only want the best for us. Lord, that You aren't going to allow anything into our life that You aren't going to use to accomplish Your will. And Father, just the fact that through Your strength and through Your grace, we can constantly live in Your presence, and we can constantly live accomplishing Your will. And even when we're in the midst of a trial, we are the only people on earth that can find joy from doing exactly what we are supposed to be doing in the midst of a trial. The world can't experience that. The world can't experience the greatest joy upon earth in the midst of trials. And yet, we can, because it is your gift to us, not because we feel great or it's easy or whatever it might be, but because you can be glorified. And that ought to be our chief goal in life, to bring glory to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen and enable us throughout this year. Lord, I pray that we would learn to rejoice in the midst of trials, temptations, persecutions, Lord, whatever it might be. Lord, that we would learn to trust you, believe you, accept your will, and then surrender with a grateful and joyful spirit to whatever you have for us. Lord, we do pray that you would bless the rest of this day, Lord, the rest of the services. Lord, give us wisdom for each step of the way. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.